Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamah's Daf Yud Beis. We are actually 18 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Lili Bar Mamu, Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, Soras Mema Enes Asura. So you know that an Isha who is already an adult, a Gdoila, can be Mekadosh herself, she can marry herself off, but if she's still a Ketana, the only one who has authority to marry her off Minatera is her father. Otherwise, if her father's not around, she's an orphan, then Chachamim u'Masakin, that family, mother, brothers can marry her off, but it's only a Kedusha Midrabanan, which allows for the miun process to be applied. Suppose she's unhappy with him, she can just walk off on him. She can be mimayin, she can refuse, literally means refuse. She can reject her husband, walk away, in which case we deem the entire process as though it was non-existent. It's a retroactive cancellation of the marriage. Says the Gemara, Atzoras mima'enes is asura. So you have Reuben, who was married to a Ketana, Rachel. He had another wife, Leah. She was the Tzara of this Ketana. Reuben passes away without children. Shimon, the surviving brother, together with Levi and Yehuda, are the potential Yavams. Right? They're meant to do the Yibum. At this point, Rachel, who is still a Ketana, decides, you know what, I'm not interested in Shimon. She walks off. She rejects him. She does miyum to the yavam, not to her husband. Her husband's gone. She does yibum to the yavam. It works. It can work even now. By doing yibum to him, she's effectively canceling the entire marriage. Her entire marriage with Reuven becomes nullified retroactively. Lemafrei. It's as though she was never married to him. It's as though she was not a yavama. Everything gets uprooted. What about the Tzara? Leah, the other wife, who's a Gedoila, a proper Yavama. She's a companion wife to Rachel, the Mema'enes. She's not Ro'i for Yibum. Tzaras, Mema'enes, Asura, there is no Yibum applicable to her. Okay, let's try to analyze this halach. Leman, to who? Which brother are we referring to? Right, there was Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Rachel the Ketana did miyun to Shimon. She rejected him, walked off. So Yibum is certainly not applicable to her. It's as though she was never married to Reuven. But not only is she off the table, Leah as well is Asr. To who? Ilema la'achim. To the remaining brothers, Levi and Yehuda. Not Shimon, the fellow who got this miyun treatment from Rachel. Not to him. To the other brothers. What can be the problem with that? Why can't they interact with Leah? Hashta higufa shaya. Well, even Rachel herself can go ahead and marry Levi and Yehuda. There's no issue there because, keep in mind, she was never their sister-in-law. Once she does miyun, she's oikar, everything lemafreya, she was never part of the family, she's never married to Reuven. She's free to marry Levi and Yehuda. The Amar Shmuel Miana Bazeh, Rachel, who was Mimayin and Shimon, her Yavam, after she does that, she can walk away and marry any brother. Muteras Bazeh, she can marry the other brothers. Then we understand why she can't marry Shimon. Rashi explains, it doesn't look too good. There's a Gzeirah. It appears that she was meant to marry him. She was his Yavama. Because look, she didn't do Mian to Reuven during Reuven's lifetime. Reuven passes away, she became the Yavama, she's facing Shimon, her potential Yavam, and she turns away, she rejects him. It gives the impression as though she was really properly married and she was meant for Yavam, she was bound to Shimon, and she had to walk off on him and sort of nullify that, sever that bond, sever that commitment. So when it comes to Shimon, we don't let her marry Rachel. It appears like she was really his sister-in-law. But that's limited to Shimon, with whom she interacted somewhat. But to the other brothers, they don't reckon with this whole episode. As far as they're concerned, Once she does Miyam, she cancels her whole history. She was never married to Reuben to begin with. If that's the case, if Rachel herself, Lima Ma'enes, can marry Shimon and Levi, so Rasa Mibaya. Is there a need to even discuss the other woman, Leah, who never had any interaction with any brother? Rachel did the Miyam. Leah was just sitting idle on the side. She never did anything. It didn't appear at all as she was part of any process. Of course she can go marry Levi and Yehuda. She's meant to marry them. She's a Yavama. So what's wrong with Leah marrying, becoming Miss Yabim to Levi and Yehuda? Oh, Elul of the day. We must be speaking about Shimon himself, who had that Mion interaction with Rachel. Now we understand why Rachel shouldn't proceed to marry Shimon after she did Mion, as we explained, because she had that interaction, she had the Mion with him. It appears, at least outwardly, it appears, it gives the impression, the observer watching the scene, Rachel's husband passed away, she's falling in Yibum to Shimon, she rejects, she leaves. It seems like there was a Yibum interaction here. She was a Yivama to Shimon. See, after she does Mion, he can't just turn around and say, look, you know what, you've now turned yourself into a stranger because you mevatel your entire marriage to Reuben, my brother. Come, let me marry. No, you shouldn't do that. It appears like she was really his sister-in-law, and of course one may not marry a sister-in-law out of the context of Yibum. So that's understood. But the Tzara, Leah, why can't she marry Shimon? Why can't he do Yibum to the Tzara? He had no experience with her. He had no interaction with her. She's a regular Yavama. Umayishna mema'enes de shari la'achen. Why is this different than the mema'enes herself, Rachel, who certainly can proceed to marry Levi and Yehuda, as we just explained, because she didn't interact with him at all. The lo yavda b'hu ma'ase, because she didn't do anything to them. She had no interaction with them. She had no meon with them. As far as they're concerned, she never existed in the family. She just walked off, and the entire marriage with Reuben gets nullified, and to them she's a perfect stranger. Well, if that's understood, then Tzara Nami, the case that we're speaking about, Leah, the Tzara, who wants to marry Shimon, the fellow who did interact with Rachel, but with Leah he had no interaction. Well, the Avda Bey Masa, she didn't do anything to Shimon, she didn't reject him, she had nothing to do with him. In which case, why isn't he free to just marry her? Bimi Yabam her. Gzerim Shum Tzora Aspita Mimanis. If we allow a Tzora of a Mimanis to proceed and have Yibum, you know what could happen? Maybe next time. Reuben passes away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah. Rachel is a Ketana, Leah is a Gdela. Rachel happens to be Shimon's daughter. Now you'll ask me, how could she be Shimon's daughter and still do Mion? Rashi asks the question. It brings the Gemara that it is possible. When we speak about a Yisoma, a girl that's an orphan, it could mean literally, she's lacking a father, or it could mean figuratively. It could mean that he once married her off, and once she gets to the point of nisuin, she leaves his domain. She's on her own. If she gets divorced, she's like an orphan. For all practical purposes, we consider her like fatherless in terms of his ability to marry her off. So something like this happened. Shimon's daughter, who was already detached from him, married his brother, with whom she has a father, married Reuben. We had another wife as well, Rachel and Leah now. Rachel the Diktana, Shimon's daughter, and Leah a stranger. Reuben passes away. And Rachel and Leah are now Yevamis. Rachel turns to her father, Shimon, says, I reject you, Miyun, I'm walking away. If we allow Shimon to marry Leah, it gives the appearance like Leah was Tzoras Bita. People won't necessarily get to the bottom of things. They'll say, well, look, Rachel was an erva to Shimon, his daughter, and Leah was the Tzoras erva. And look, he married the Tzara Zarva. He married Leah. You won't realize, look, Rachel did Mion, which in turn overturns the situation and uproots the entire marriage with Reuben. Says, oh, she never was married. You won't really get to the bottom of that. On the surface, it appears that Shimon married a Tzara's Erva, which is awesome. On account of this, we say every Tzara's Mima'enes should not have Yibum or Chalitza from the fellow who accepted the Mion. Gzeira Mishum Tzara's Bitoi Mima'enes. So again, if we have Reuben and Shimon, Reuben passes away without children, leaves behind Rachel, who's a Ketana, and Leah, who's a Gdoila. Rachel walks over to Shimon, one of the brothers, Mion. We don't allow Shimon to interact with Rachel, because it appears like she was really his sister-in-law, because she had to do that whole Mion process, and therefore he shouldn't interact with her anymore. And Leah as well. A Gzeira, on account of the case where Rachel may have been Shimon's daughter. And then it appears like Leah is a Tzara's Erva. So on account of this concern, we disallow Yibum, Chalitza, to a Tzara's Mima'enes, with the brother who was involved in the Mion. But of course, the other brothers, this won't have any effect, because the other brothers were not involved in the Mion, they were out of the picture, they're free to do what they want. Really, that's a problem with Tzara's Bitei Mima'enes Mi'asira? Why is it Tzara's Bitei, who did Mion, Asir? Think about it. Mion means there was no marriage to begin with. It's not like a get, which severs the relationship going forward. Mikano lahabo. Mion is l'mafreya. So say Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter. Rachel was Shimon's Bitei. Leah was a Tzara. Reuven was Mace. Shimon is facing Rachel, his daughter, and Leah, the stranger. And Rachel does Mion. She's off the table. She's off the map. She's expelled herself from the family, retroactively. Would Tzara speak to Mima'enes Mi'asira? Why would this Tzara of his daughter who did Mion be Asir? Tzara's Erva is Asir. She's not Tzara's Erva. The Erva is non-existent. She's gone. She was never here. We have a Mishnah. If an Erva leaves the scene, she does Mion. We're assuming even if she does Mion to the Yavam after her husband's death, that Mion nullifies everything. She's not around. The Tzara's Erva is not a Tzara's Erva. She's a plain Isha, Yavam, was not affected by the Erva. Who's no longer here? The Mion Biman. Who did she do Mion to? Elaim of the Mion Bibal. Oh, maybe she did Mion to her former husband, to Reuven, during his lifetime. Maybe that works. Well, Haina Grusha, if so, that's a repetition of the case of Grusha, which is a similar case where the husband does Gerushin. Reuven divorced her while he's during his lifetime. Why would the Mishnah repeat another variation of the same concept? Ela labi Yavam. Oh, Mion means she rejected the Yavam. So even if it happened after her husband's death, she can reject, she can nullify and uproot everything. And she's not here, and the other woman is not a Tzara Sarva. Loyla Elim Babal. No. She did Mion to her husband during his lifetime. And that's when it works. You know what the difference is? Because she was Mimayin in Reuven during his lifetime, before there was any Misa, before there was any Yibum situation, then it doesn't appear like she was really married to him because she just left him during his lifetime. So that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Loyla Babal. It's really Gavni Gerushin. You asked me, why is this different than divorce? It's not so different. It's a different variation. Gerushin is a get, and Mion is rejection. But either way, she left him during his lifetime. And in this case, the companion wife, Leah, is unaffected by her because she left. She left the scene. So you'll ask me, why is it that she does Mion to her husband during his lifetime? It works. Deakrinu l'nesuin, because she uprooted her marriage. And now Leah, the other wife, is one alone and unaffected by her. And then when Reuben passes away, she's the only soul Yavama, and she gets evil. Well, so too, Kimiyana b'Yavam Nami, even if she did Mion after Reuben's death, to the Yavam, that's also a Mion. Nesuin, Kamai Ka'akra. What is she doing? In effect, she's uprooting the entire marriage, her former marriage as well. So Leah is unaffected. She's not a companion wife. She's a soul Yavama. Rachel's not here. What's the Rabbanon? We're concerned about public appearance. It appears like the Erva was part of the Yibum equation. Look, her husband passed away. She was committed to Yibum. Now suddenly she wakes up and walks away. It doesn't sound... It sounds like she was really here. She was really married and she was part of the picture. It's Xerah with the Rabbanon. In this case, we don't just say, well, the Erva is non-existent. The Tzara is unaffected. We have to put the Erva into the equation. It's the Rabbanon. Mishum Datan, Yirami Bar Yecheskel. We have a Brice as follows. Datan, Yirami Bar Yecheskel. A similar halacha. Miyana Bebal, Muteres L'Aviv. So you have Yaakov, his son Reuven, who married Rachel. Rachel is a Ktana. She walked off on Reuven during his lifetime. Miyana Bebal, Muteres L'Aviv. She can proceed to marry his father, Yaakov. She's not a daughter-in-law. She was never married to his son. B'yavam, let's say Reuben passes away. She's now Yavama. And she rejects the brother, the sibling, Shimon or Levi. Surah La'aviv. Now she can't marry Yaakov, the grandfather. You know why? Alma apparently mishas nefila. At the point of nefila, as soon as Yibum got activated, at the point of her husband's passing, Niras kekalase, the fact that her husband's Misa generated the Yibum, activated the Yibum process, it gives her the label of a Yavama. It appears like she was indeed married to Reuven. Look what happened. Look what the marriage to Reuven did. Made her a Yavama. It looks legitimate. It looks bona fide. In which case, we don't allow her to marry Yaakov. Nearest Kekalasi, she appears. It looks like she's his daughter-in-law. Because she waited to do Miun until after death. Hachanami here as well, in our case, by Bitoy, by daughter, Tzoras Bitoy. If she waited until after Reuven passed away, now she comes to her father Shimon and she does Miun, it doesn't look right. Hachanami Mishnas Nefila, from the moment of Nefila, the moment of her husband's death, which triggered the Yibum process, Niras Kitzoras Bitoy, it appears like this girl, like this Rachel, was a proper Yavama awaiting Yibum. And the other woman, the accompanying woman, the companion, Leah, the Tzora, looks like she's Tzoras Bitoy. So at this point, we don't allow Shimon to marry Leah. It looks like she was Tzoras Bitoy. So the same concept we apply to our Gemara. Tzoras Mema'enes is Aser. Every Tzoras Mema'enes is Aser. Because if you're going to allow the Tzoras Mema'enes to do Yibum with this man who accepted the Mion from the Ketana, this might lead us to do the same by Tzoras Bitoy, who is a Mema'enes against the Yavam. And it doesn't look good. It looks like she is Tzoras Erev. That's the Chiddush of Rav Levi Bar Marmol or Mar Ukam Mar Shmuel. A Tzoras Mema'enes is also. Now, who are we speaking about? It's more clarified. So we have Reuven and Shimon, and Levi and Yehuda. Reuven was married to Rachel Aktana, and also to Leah Agdela. He passed away. Rachel Aktana did Mion to Shimon. Okay? Leah did no Mion, Leah's Agdela. So what's clear to us? Two things are certainly clear. Shimon is Aser in Rachel. That's Pashat. Because once she did Mion with him, it appears like he was a legitimate Yavam. Why is she doing Yivam against me? Apparently, I'm the Yavam. Apparently, she was my sister-in-law. So to Shimon, she's certainly Aser. Midrabbanan. The Raisa is no concern because Mion uproots everything. Entire marriage wasn't really a marriage with the Raisa. But even if the marriage is a marriage with the Rabbanan, but the Mion uproots it. But there's a Gzera. It appears like I have some interaction with her. She's my Yavama. Don't have to do with her. She's a sister-in-law. That's Pashat. What else is clear and accepted? That Rachel and Leah can interact with the other brothers. Levi and Yehuda can marry them, because Rachel is totally off the scene as far as everybody's concerned. She's not a sister-in-law, as far as the other brothers are concerned, and Leah is a proper Yavam. So these two halachas are pashut. Rachel to Shimon is asur. Leah to Levi and Yehuda, certainly mutar. Same thing with Rachel. The chiddush was that to Shimon, the one who had the miyun done to him through Rachel, to Shimon, Leah is asur as well. Tzoras menas is asur, on account of the case of Tzoras Bitoi, in the case where Rachel might be Shimon's daughter, and Leah is a Tzoras Bitoi. In that case, even though she did miyun against Shimon, but since she waited until after Reuben passed away, it looks like she was married to Reuben. The marriage prompted the Yibum. In which case, there's an erva in the Yibum equation, and if you allow Leah to marry the brother, it looks like she's marrying a Tzoras, he's marrying a Tzoras erva. And therefore, we disallow any a Tzoras erva, sorry, any Tzoras ma'enes, to undergo the Yibum process. Continues the Gemara with another Chiddush regarding its Tzora. Amar Vasi, Tzoras island is Asura. An island is an Isha who, medically speaking, can't bear any children. So not only is the islandess herself usher from Yibum, the whole point of Yibum is to reestablish her departed husband's family. Well, she's not ready for that. She's not a Yibum candidate. Not only herself, but even the Tzara, the other woman, Leah, who's an ordinary healthy woman, is usher. There's no Yibum here. Shenemar. So it's referring to the oldest brother who does the Yibum. Bechor is the oldest brother who's meant to do the Yibum. That's the Pashup Shat. But as she says, the drasha is that the point of Yibum is to generate offspring, to reestablish the departed fellow's family. And therefore, Prat L'Islandis Sheinei Yeledes. It doesn't apply to an islandess who can't bear children. Masar Rav Sheishes, how can you say this? Raisa says, Shloisha Achen, Reuben Shimon Levi, Nusun Shalosh Nashim Nachriyis, married to three unrelated women. Umeis Echad Mehem, Reuben passes away, leaving behind a Yevama, Rachel, V'also Vasheni Mamar. Shimon proceeds and does Mamar, which is a Kedushin. It's with the Rabbanon, it's considered somewhat of a initiation of the Yibum process. He gives her money, makes Mamar. Umeis, now Shimon passes away before having had a chance to actually carry out the Yibum with Rachel. Now he leaves behind Rachel, who he somewhat interacted with. Rachel is sort of still Reuven's Yivama, and now Shimon's Yivama. Right? She's Reuven's widow and Shimon's widow. Sort of bound on two fronts. Two reasons for Yibum. And also, he left behind his own wife, Leah. V'aso b'sheni mamar meis, hare elu choltzois lebisiyab meis. So what happens is, we're in a dilemma, a quandary. Typically, when there are two yevamis in the same household, you do one, not the other. You exempt, you are moitzi the entire bias through doing yibum or chalitza to one of them. The point of yibum chalitza is to address the household. That's bereft of children. It's a house, it's a bias concept. So you do one chalitza or one yibum. But here we're not sure what's going on. If Rachel would have really been married to Shimon, so Rachel and Leah from the same bias, you do one. But it's not so. She was only partially engaged with him. It was a mamar done, that's it. So who says that one can exempt the other? One isha can be mighty the other. On the other hand, you can't say, well, be miyav in both. Because one is Reuven's widow, one is Shimon's widow. No. Shimon also got hold of Rachel to a certain extent. She relates, she identifies with Shimon as well. So you're stuck in a quandary. So you do chalitza to both. Shenema romeis echad mehen. Yivam yaveleo. One of the brothers passes away. Yibum is executed. We learn if she's a Yavama due to one person's death. Mishaleh Azika Asyava Mechad. It only applies to an Isha who's bound, Zika means she's bound to Yibam on account of one. One departed husband. V'loy Zika Shnei Yavam Maleo. As opposed to this Isha, who has two reasons for Yibam, Reuben and Shimon. Rashi says, of course, it's only the Rabbanon, it's Asmach, that's a remes from the Pasuk, that this causes trouble. Okay, so this is the Braisa. Now, Uktoni Elo. And on this Braisa, we have Amar of Yosef, Zui, Soras, Eishes, Ach, Me'av. This is the one and only example that we find in the entire Meseches Yevamos, that a tzara of a brother's wife is asur. She isur nefilu garamla. And the only reason why there's an isur here is because she fell a yibam. There's no other isur. She's not an erva. She's not a brother. She's not a daughter. Not a sister. She's not an aunt. She's a plain, simple system. Regli yavama. What's wrong? She fell twice. Shalei matzina b'chala teru kulu. Kigayzayis. We don't find this anyway in the Torah, because as Rashi says, it's really not Menat Torah, it's only Midr Rabbanon. Okay, end quote. Now Rav Yosef starts with the words Zuhi. He's coming to exclude something. This is your only example. Zuhi, Lumotimai, what is he coming to exclude? A similar case which he doesn't hold of. A similar case where it wouldn't have the same ramification, the same result. Lumotimai, Lav Lumoti Tzaris Island, it's the Sharia. Oh! Apparently, he's coming to exclude Tzaras Islandus. Right? So Reuben passes away, leaving behind Rachel, who's an Islandus, who can't bear children, and also Leah. Just because the Islandus is unfit for Yibam, she can't reestablish the family, but Leah is not affected. She's Mutter. We don't say, well, since Rachel becomes like an Erva, she's unfit for Yibam, she's disqualified, affects everybody in the family. No. She can't be Miss Yibam, but Leah could. And that's what Rav Yosef is coming to tell us. That we have one similar example to this one. We have a case where the Isha is a regular sister-in-law, and she's still not really suitable for Yibam, but it doesn't affect the Tzara. Well, you know, that's not what he meant. Lamut Tzara's island is the Asira. No. Of course, Tzara's island is also Asr. Umay Zohi. So what then did Rav Yosef mean when he said only this one carries this unique quality but other cases not? Zohi di Isr Nefila Garamla. It's only in this case where the Isha had two reasons for Yibam, right? The Isr Nefila Garamla. Tzarasa Baya Chalitza. Only in this case where this non-conventional mefila brought about this complication. In this case, the tzara still needs chalitza. Islandess, but when it comes to an islandess, I feel a chalitza is like baya. The tzara doesn't even need chalitza. Why? What's the difference? We have two ordinary women, two ordinary conventional sister-in-laws. Some complication arose with the yibam process. Here you're going to say, well, she's disqualified and also a tzara completely by the islandess, and here you say, no, she's out of the picture, but the tzara still gets chalitza. What's the difference? My timer, very simple. Hadar Raisa, Hadar Rabbanon. The case of the double Zika, double Yibam there, as we mentioned, it's only the Rabbanon. So we don't have the same consequence. It's not meant for Yibam, but chalitza, yes. Whereas when it comes to an islandess, she's totally disqualified. We're not Torah. She becomes like an erva, a sister-in-law who is not fit for Yibam, in which case, she's like an erva and the whole family becomes affected. The Torah as well. Oh, let's make a kasha from our mission. From our mission, Tanan. V'chulon ha-meso ha-mianu, oynes garshu, oyshanim tu islanders, tzoreser motarois. Mishnah clearly says that, let's say Reuben, the departed man, was married to Rachel and Leah. And Rachel turned out to be an Eilonis. Right? And Rachel also happened to be an Erva to his brother Shimon. She's his daughter. Reuben passes away. Turns out that Rachel was an Eilonis. If that's the case, she's not Roy for Yibum. Not only that, typically speaking, an Eilonis is a Mekach Tos. That's not what he had in mind. He married an Isha to be Mekah in the Mitzvah, having children. An Eilonis is considered to be unmarried. She's a Mekach Tos. Says the Mishnah, we don't treat her as part of the, we don't view her as part of the Yibum equation. And therefore, the other Isha, Leah, is not a Tzoras Erva. Clearly, an Eilonis doesn't adversely affect her family. And here we say otherwise. A Tzoras Eilonis is also. Oh, big difference, says the Gemara. Like, Kashi, you know what the answer is? Depends on the circumstance. Depends when they discovered her medical condition. Kan Rav Asi, you just told us that a Tzoras Eilonis is also because the Eilonis is considered like an Erva. Shehikirba. What happened was that he knew full and well. He discovered her condition mid-marriage. He knew her condition, and he still wanted to stay married to her. In this case, there's no mekach tos. You can't nullify the transaction. He knew about it. He accepted it. Oh, so in this case, when he passes away, leaving behind Rachel the Eilonis and Leah the Tzara, the Torah rejects Rachel from Yibum. Right? Like we said before, Asher Teilet Prat LaEilonis. And once that happens, the entire household is considered rejected. Part of it is rejected, the entire becomes rejected. Kan Shalei Hikabu, I was just speaking where he didn't discover it until too late, until after he was mace. We found out he didn't know about it. In which case, we consider it a mekach tos. He can nullify that transaction. She was never married to him. She's not part of the Yibum equation at all. So the Tzara factor is non-existent. The Erva factor is non-existent. So Leah is free to do Yibum. The economy, it's clear in the Mishnah because it says the Tanish Nimtu. Like Tanish Shehayu, it says they were found to be Eilonis. It was a Mekach Tos. In which case, she was never married to him. Shema Mino, this Lashon in the Mishnah is a clear indication that indeed we're speaking about a different type of case. It was discovered later. So Mekach Tos. Rashi actually learns that Hikirbo was, he knew about it before he married her. Oh, that's better. He knew about it before he married her. That's Ravasi's case. In which case, there's no Mekach Tos. He was fully willing to marry her. So when he married her willingly, she's part of his family. And if she's an Erva, the other woman is a Tzoras Erva. Why is she an Erva? She's similar to an Erva because she's unfit for you. She's like a regular sister-in-law. So it affects the entire household. When Reuben passes away, the entire household is pater from Yibum Chalitza. That's Rav Asi's case. Whereas the Mishnah speaking Shenimtzu. He discovered it after marriage, right? During his lifetime, he discovered it at that point. So now it's a Mekach Tos. He sends her away. And the other Isha is the sole surviving member of the family. Rachel, the Eilonis, was not part of the equation because he only found out about it after marriage. Mekach Tos. She's never married him. So we discount the fact that Rachel was here. That's the case of the Mishnah. Although Rachel was an Erva, she was a daughter to Shimon the Yavam, we don't reckon with Rachel. She's an Eilonis. Mekach Tos. Amar Rava, Hilchas Tzoras Eilonis Muteras. Rava is going to paskin differently than all these shittas we had. We discussed Tzoras Eilonis, we discussed Tzoras Ma'enes, yesterday we discussed Tzoras Machzeh Grushasa, right? If Reuven remarried his divorcee after her marrying somebody else, which is Aser, of course, and then he passes away. She can't go to Leibim. And the Tzara we had a discussion about says, Rava, all these cases, they're perfectly fine. Hilchas Tzoras Eilonis Muteras. Let's start with this one. So we have Reuven who married Rachel, who turned out to be an Eilonis. So whether he knew about it, he didn't know about it, doesn't matter. And even Afilu Hikaba, he knew about her condition. He was aware about her, of her condition. And he married her willingly. There's no Mekach Tomas. And now he passes away. So although Rachel herself was disqualified from Yibum, Asha Taylor proud Lailanis, right? Defeats the purpose, she can't have children. Still, it's not going to affect the other wife. Leah is still right for you. Rashi explains, you know why? Because the whole concept of Tzoras Erva is, if you have two women within a Yibum circumstance, potential Yivamis, one of them is unfit, one of them is a daughter, or a sister, or an aunt to the Yavam, it affects the entire household. She's Aser in the Erva, and the Tzora is Aser. But here, it's just the opposite. The islandess is not royally Yibam. Nothing to do with the fact that she's a sister-in-law. She's not royally Yibam. Right? So, Hatsara is unaffected. This islandess is not part of it. She's not a potential Yibam. So even in the case where she's the Yavam's daughter, who cares? Leah is not a Tzoras Erva. We don't reckon with Rachel. She can't have Yibam. She's not on the parsha of Yibam. Tzoras Erva is only if she's a Tzora of an Isha who would otherwise be in the parsha of Yibam. And happens to be an Erva to the Yavam. She's not on the parsha of Yibam. She's not a potential candidate at all when it comes to Yibam. She's an islandess. She can't have birth. She can't continue the family. So we don't reckon with her. The tzora is mutar liyibum. Va'afilu tzoras bitoy islandess. Oh, here's the chiddush. Even if the islandess happens to be an erva to the yavam, who cares? She never entered the realm of the yibum potential. She's an islandess. We don't reckon with her. So why does the mission use the lashon? Well, the islandess was discovered, which sounds like the only reason why we ignore her was because he only found out about her later, in which case she's a Mekach Tosh. That's why she's not around. But let's say he would have known about her condition and remained married to her willingly. In that case, perhaps the Leah, the accompanying woman, would have been a Tzoras Erva if this islandess is an Erva to Shimon, the surviving brother, the Tzoras is affected as well. Tanisha Hayu, let's relearn the Mishnah. Shehayu. If Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven, was an islandess, whether Reuven discovered it later or discovered it earlier, it doesn't matter. An islandess is not a Yavam. So we don't reckon with her. And Leah, the companion wife, is Mutalibim. Ki also Ravanam Rav Yechanan, Achasaras Ma'enes, going back to that halacha, Atsarava Oktana, who did Mion to the Yavam. V'achas tzoras islandess, like we just spoke. V'achas tzoras masa grushasai, we had yesterday. Kulan mutarais, in all these cases, although the islandess herself is disqualified, the mamenas herself carries a concern with the yavam. It looks like they had some interaction, some sort of relation between. And in the case of masa grushasai, although he's not meant to remarry the grusha, but in all these cases, we don't treat it like an erva, and the tzora is free to proceed with yibam or chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Tani Rav Bevi Kameder Rav Nachman. Rav Bevi presented Rav Nachman a brais. Sholish Noshim Mishamshis B'moich. In the following three cases, an Isha should place some sort of moich, material, some sort of barrier, which would block the man Zera from entering her guf because of Ksakana. Rashi says, Mutaris. In this case, it's a heter because of Sakana. Ktana, Mu'uberes u'minika. Anisha was still a Ktana. Anisha was already expecting. And Minika, Anisha, who's nursing. The Gemara explains. Ktana, Shamatis, Aber, V'Shamatomas. By Ktana, the concern is that she might become expecting. And in that case, she might pass away due to that experience. So she should place a Moich to protect herself. By Mu'uberes, an expectant woman. There the concern is not herself. Shamata'asa, Urbasandol. Concerned that the existing fetus might become disformed if she becomes expectant again. Tosfos brings a Gemara Nida. Ein isha misaberes v'chazeres misaberes. It can't happen that an isha should already be muberes again. So he says, a successful pregnancy, that wouldn't happen again. But it might create this complication where the original uber might die. Thirdly, manika, an isha who's nursing, she has to protect herself from becoming expecting again. Shema tigmal b'na v'yamas. If she becomes muberes again, that's going to distort the quality of the milk that she needs for feeding of this baby. And she'll have to stop feeding him and he'll pass away if he's so dependent on his mother. The Bryce explains. Ve'ezeh hiktana, when we say ktana, at what point are we speaking? Mibasid aliv shana v'yamechad. From at the point where she's 11 years old and one day, basically means 10 full years and one day into the 11th. Ad yud beis shana v'yamechad, until she's bas mitzvah. 12 years and a day means she reaches 12. She's done 11, she reaches 12 and a day. So that's the period of time that we're concerned about. At that point, she has to protect herself from becoming muberes, which might adversely affect her. But younger than that, or older than that, carries no concern. Pachas mikan, younger than the Yud Aleph Shana. V'yosr al-kein. Or older than 12, right? From 12 and up. Right? When we speak about ages, it's different than the Chazal related to it. We speak about a 10-year-old as already passing 10 years in the 11th year. So just for clarity, when the Gemara speaks about Mibas Yud Aleph Shana or Bas Yud Beis Shana, means having entered the 11th year, entered the 12th year. Okay. So younger than that, older than that, Mishameshes, Kedak Veleches, she can proceed with Tashmish as usual, there's no concern at all. Why? Because below 11, there's no chance of becoming expectant, and above 12, it carries no danger if she becomes muberes. No, whether she's 10, 11, or 12, mishameshes kedak v'leches, do things conventionally, umen hashamayim irachmu, Hashem will watch over her. Hashem looks after people who just are passing, they're just do things, follow the norm. Oh, so that's the price. How does this pertain to Maseches Yevamos and to our mission? Here we go. Midika Omar Shema Tisaba V'Shema Thomas. So we speak about year 12, right, from when she enters the 12th year until she's done the 12th year, what we call when she becomes 12 years old. So that year 12, carries a great risk. Shematis Aber Shema Thomas. She might become muberes, she might die. Which sounds like Mechlal Deika Ktana Deme Aber V'Lei Mesa. It sounds like she could become muberes and it won't adversely affect her. There's a chance. She's protecting herself from that chance. But it could happen that she can still be a ketana. She's still below 12 years old, and she'll have a baby and survive. That's the case. Im kein motzinu chamoisim ma'enes. You can have a case where she gave birth when she's still a ketana, right, during that year 12. She had a child, and Shimon is mekadosh that child. The mother, right, we have Rachel, the mother, the Ketana, who had a baby, Leah. Shimon was Mekadosh Leah. Rachel is now Shimon's Chamoisei mother-in-law, right, pretty young mother-in-law. Rachel, the mother-in-law of Shimon, married Reuven, Shimon's brother, with whom he shares a father. Reuven passes away without children. Rachel is now Chamoisei of Shimon. Right? She's his mother-in-law. But the Mishnah says the concept of mion can never happen by your mother-in-law. What do you mean, the coach? She's still a Tana. If a Tana can theoretically have a child, you can have a situation where a Yevama is chamoisai and still can do mion. A Tanan, yato yachalayim b'chamoisai, ve'im chamoisai, ve'im chamiv. In all these cases, mother-in-law, mother-in-law, mother-father-in-law of mother of mother-in-law, mother of father-in-law, in all these cases, they're too old for mion. Mion only applies to a ketan. You can't say shenim to islanders. Turns out that they were islanders. Why not? Because they had kids. Oy shemienu. Mion is not applicable to these people because they're beyond, they're already adults. What do you mean? She could still be a ketana and be his mother-in-law and do you and do mion. Oh, Ema, let's revise the brice. Shematis Abar v'Tomas. During year 12, a concern. She might become Uberes and pass away, because it's automatic. Instead of, she might become Uberes and might pass away, a double doubt, no, it's pretty definite. If she becomes expecting, it will kill her. There's a set boundary to an isha. Before this time, meaning during year 11, there's no Iber at all, she's too young. During this time, during year 12, he may save Uber mace. She and the Uber will die. It's a definite thing. After this point, once she's bas mitzvah, once she's past year 12, she's already what we call 12 years old. He chaya, v'urba chaya. Everybody will have a healthy life. Her and the Uber will be viable. Okay, so the point is that during year 12, Ibur and Misa happened automatically. So you can never have a ketana giving birth and still surviving. Eini, is that so? But Tani, Rabbi Rashmol, he said it a little differently. You can't apply the term islandness to these individuals. Likewise, they can't do mion. Why? He doesn't say because if she's a mother-in-law, i.e. she had a child, it's indicative of the fact that she's already an adult. He's not saying that. He adds two words. Shekvar yolda, because they gave birth. Which sounds like she could still be a ketana. Otherwise, you would say, well, a mother who had offspring can't do mion because the very fact that she had a child indicates that she's a gdola and she's past mion. No, he's not saying that. He's saying mion doesn't apply because she's already a mother. She gave birth. So it sounds like a ketana can give birth. Ela lo'ilam shematis abba v'shema Thomas. You're right. We said before that the ketana can be meshamash b'moich. We're concerned that during that middle year she might become this Abra and might die. That's true. It's not automatic. You can have a pretty rare case where Ketana, right before she turns 12 years, she can have a child and survive. Vela Kashihach. Oh, so the Kash is back on our Mishnah. A mother-in-law can't do Mian? She could. She happens to be a mother-in-law and a Ketana. Omer of Safra, Bonim, Harihem Kisimon. It's true. She's still underage. But we consider her gedola. The mere fact that she had children isn't the biggest indication of maturity. It's like finding pubic hair. It has a din of simanim. And therefore, mion is unacceptable at this point. That's all the Mishnah meant. Physically speaking, even a ketana can sometimes give birth and survive. But her birthing experience is an expression of maturity. It's tantamount to simanin, in which case we treat her like a mature adult. And mion is not applicable. Some had a different version. Banim, having children, actually are adifim simanin, are greater, bigger raya, or even a greater indication of maturity than just simanim hairs. Man of Kemina, what's the point of adding this? Dafila Rabbi Yehuda de Amar. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds that mion is acceptable. Achi yarbe hashachar. He says if you have two sa'aris of maturity, that's not going to stop the mion process. You have to have shachar and an abundance of black hair. So, according to him, you have to have a greater expression of maturity to nullify, to discount mion, to disqualify the isha from yibum, from mion. Well, b'manim ma'idav, she has children, that's already the greatest expression of maturity in adulthood, in which case mion is no longer applicable to her. Here comes a third version. Rav Zvid Amar ein banim b'lo simanim. You see, Rav Zvid holds that even if she's less than 12 years old, and she has simanim, pubic hairs of godless, that would allow her, us to consider her a gedola. That's his chiddush, discussed at length in the Gemara, Nida, elsewhere. So says Rav Zvid, if she has children, that's a raya, that she had simanu. So even if she's underage, we consider her a gedola. Why do you need this type of equation? Well, if there's bottom, there must be simanu. Just check, have an isha checker, v'nibdaik, let's see what's going on. Chayshina, shemanashu, concerned, perhaps the simanu, the hair fell off, and you don't have any indication of godless. But the fact that she had a child, that's the raya. That's only a concern, according to the one who says, we're concerned that perhaps hair would fall off. According to the other sheet who says, we're not concerned about hair falling off. Michael Amemar. So then just check the hair. Why do you have to come on to the childbirth as a raya to Simonim? Even according to the one who says that typically we're not chayshish, that sa'ara is disappeared. But in this case, it's different. Mishum tsar leida chayshinan, due to the excruciating experience that's involved in childbirth, we are concerned that the simanim disappeared. It's only because she had the bonim. Now we have the raya. She must have had simanim. It's a chazak that she had simanim, and she's considered a gdol. So bottom line is, we reconcile our Mishnah, which tells us that a mother-in-law can never do miyun. First he thought because she's laktana. An Aktana, a Miyun is only for Aktana. An Aktana can't have children. He said, no. At times, even Aktana can have children. It's not likely. It's not safe. Aisha is meant to protect herself from such a situation through a Meich, according to her mayor. But nevertheless, it is possible, theoretically. So why can't it happen? Why can't we say that a mother-in-law does Miyun? The answer is, because once she has a child, we treat her as a Gdaila. Whether because Banim and Simanim are synonymous, or Banim is even greater than Simanim, or Banim is a riot to Simanim. Once that happens, Shagdaila, Miyun is no longer. Okay, let's do a quick Chazara. We had a discussion regarding Tzoras Mema'enes. According to Shmuel, she's Asur. We're concerned about Tzoras Mema'enes, who happens to be an Erva, Bitoy of this Yavam. In which case it would appear that if he goes and marries the Tzara, it's a Tzara's Erva. We had a Chiddush from Ravasi. Tzara's Islandess is Asura, just like the Islandess can't do Yibum and affect the entire household. Ramayas, the Gemara Paskins, in all these cases, the Tzara is unaffected. And we ended with the discussion of the Sholish Noshim, we have to be careful. And the Pshat Nau Mishnah. Why is it that a mother-in-law cannot do Yibum? Because she's already considered a Gdol. All the best to you, and much, much hatzlacha.